This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, I want to start with the NFL draft. We are 6 days away from round one. The perception for Commanders fans seems to be that Washington's going to either trade back or just take an edge that falls into their lap. And when you hear everyone banty names about which defensive end do you want, it's just them grabbing at some of the best defensive ends in the country. Here's the problem, though. We've asked the question rhetorically a few times over, what if a lot of guys at that position go before Washington picks, and you're now choosing between the fifth and the sixth defensive end? If the three guys you had first-round grades on or four guys you really liked are gone, then what do? Matt Miller is an NFL draft analyst at ESPN, an expert on the draft, who's been talking to teams over the last few months, and he actually brought up the possibility that the Commanders at 29 might not get any of the edges that they really like because they might be gone before they pick.
I think what will be interesting to see is how wiped out the board is at defensive end, especially because you have so many teams in the middle of the first round with a clear-cut need at edge: Atlanta, Arizona, Cincinnati, and they pick back-to-back-to-back. You have the Chargers at 22. They could definitely take an edge rusher. The Ravens at 27, the Lions at 28. So there's like six teams between pick 15 and where Washington is at 29 that could take edge rushers. So it will be like, if you want to sit there as a fan on Thursday night, print out my rankings if you want and cross off those edge rushers, because we can all want an edge to be there at 29. There might not be, because that run could absolutely happen.
Danny, there is a legitimate possibility that Mike Green out of Marshall, who everybody likes, is long gone.
Mm-hmm.
That Donovan Ezeraku, who I like out of Boston College, who put up some huge numbers as a pass rusher, is not available. That maybe even, I think Mikel Williams will be gone. It's obvious that Abdul Carter is going to be gone. But let's say one of the other guys, like Shamar Stewart or, I don't know, Landon Jackson goes. If that's the case, they should not pick an edge just to do it.
You don't do it just to do it.
And they know this. I'm not talking Adam Peters, but I am readying maybe the fan base for them doing something that nobody sees coming. Maybe they take a safety because they feel like they're a Quan Martin injury away from being in trouble. Maybe they take a running back earlier than you think. Maybe it's Travion Henderson from Ohio State.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they do go wide receiver because somebody fell at 29. Like, this idea that it's got to be an edge, which seems to be a prevailing thought, I certainly get the logic, but the board's got to work in your favor to get there.
It's 100% correct. So, I mean, where's the value? And what we do with drafts and teams, and we talk about mock drafts, and then after the draft happens, we give grades. You know what that's all based on? The perceived weaknesses and slights and needs of the team, right? So if Washington goes through this draft, for the sake of argument, and that a defensive end run happens, now just for the frame of reference, depends on who you look at. If it's Dane Brugler or some of the other guys from ESPN, there's different folks, but 15, 16, or 17 of the top 100 players listed in this year's draft are edge rushers, okay? So there is some depth here possible. But let's say that the first round graded guys are all gone. Even guys with a couple concerns like a James Pierce or whatever. Everybody's gone. You don't just do it to hear yourself talk, A, to your point. But B, if that happens, it means that there's better value at another spot. Maybe the third best corner hasn't come off the board yet. So that's a position maybe that would make sense. Or the third best wide receiver. Or maybe the best guard hasn't been taken yet because there's been a run on defensive ends, quarterbacks, more guys go in the first than another position. You're in a spot that's very dependent there at 29. You don't get to really dictate the board. You're in a spot where you got to go, we need to be ready to pivot. I mean, you've done this in your fantasy drafts. Obviously not the same. I'm not telling you it is on a 12-team snake. But you go, all right, my next pick, I think I'll probably be able to get, you know, wide receiver 4. And, by, you know, 7 different guys go take wide receiver 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, that probably means what? Tight end 2 is there or running back 5 is there. Whatever. I mean, you see the point. That, to me, is part of this dependent spot that they're in, and I think it's the challenge.
Yeah. I think when I look at the corner position, and based on what we've heard from the people that do this for a living, there's a very good chance that corner is where the value is at 29. If you think it's as big a need as I do, because I think it is number 2 for them behind defensive end pass rusher. And frankly, I should just call it edge because I need someone who could stop the run too. Mm-hmm. But the second biggest need they have, I think, is corner. And I'll never be upset taking a weapon. If they take Henderson at 29, there's going to be some people that think it was too early. I won't care. You just got a piece that's really, really going to help Jaden Daniels in this offense, which is already good, really good, get better. So I'm fine with that. But I think Barron from Texas is gone. I think Johnson from Michigan is gone. But maybe the rest are there for you. And that could be Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky, who was just at the Topgolf event visiting them the last couple of days. Maybe they like one of those corners higher on their board. If the corner that's left as the 3rd or 4th in America, let's say, is their player 11 on their board, and the best edge that's left is player number 36 on their board, or let's just say, well, you should not take the edge. I mean, that goes without saying. That's pretty obvious. But I want to go back to Matt Miller, the ESPN NFL draft analyst we had on a couple of days ago, because we actually went through the names at defensive end, and he took a stab at what is the possibility. He gave us percentage chances of likeliness that the best defensive ends are still there when Washington picks. So here's what he said. Abdul Carter.
0.
All right, right. So we'll just start there. Mike Green Marshall.
Darn it.
Yeah. Mike Green and yeah. Marshall.
5%.
Oh, so there.
Damn it.
That's my guy. So he's
there's
just
a lot
gone.
Of rain on this little parade right. I'm having here, Matt.
Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College.
Oh, 20%.
Oh, you, wow. So uh-oh. He's even. Okay. James Pierce.
I think so. 95%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nick Scorton from Texas A&M.
We're doing percent chances there, right?
Yeah.
100%.
All right. Shamar Stewart.
20%.
Michael Williams.
I would say 20%.
All right. Landon Jackson.
100%.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
So based on what he's hearing, He's going cross Mike Green off the list. Yep. If he's there, take him. Cross Donovan Ezeraku off your list, who's everybody's kind of mocking to Washington. Mm-hmm. If he's there, take him. And cross Shamar Stewart, who can't even get sacks in college, but is this unbelievable athlete and specimen, off your list. Meaning you're left with some dudes with some baggage here.
Yeah, so Pierce obviously has talent. So there's he doesn't seem like an Adam Peters and this Washington new brand of player. People look at the traffic stuff. That to me is secondary, honestly. Well,
explain what you mean by traffic stuff.
Sorry, he was pulled over and cited for, you know, driving on a suspended license and not having, you know, failure to produce insurance and a couple of things that, frankly, immature stuff that like that kids do or have done.
It's not assault.
Right.
You know, it's not mistreating a woman. Like, it's not the serious stuff.
Well, it's also, like, not drag racing. It's not doing what Jamin Davis did. You know what I mean? It's, so, like, to me, it's you know, hey, it's, let's get that stuff taken care of, but I don't think see that as the red flags. What's emerged, and you don't, again, you don't know. This is silly season. This is hoping you know, flush something down. Maybe he falls to the team that wants him. Who knows? But there have been work ethic concerns. There was some lateness at times, missing some offseason things that don't reflect well, whether he's grinding, playing, and play out. That's the negative report that's out there. Again, I'm not espousing it. I'm saying that's what's out there.
The thing that I think hurts him is he was better as a sophomore than he was as a junior. And that trajectory is not what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So as a junior in 23, he had 10 sacks and 15 tackles for loss. And I think the thought was if he made another leap, he could go in the top 10 or 15. Instead, he had 2.5 fewer sacks and fewer TFLs and fewer impact plays in the same number of games. And because of that now, you kind of went in the wrong direction. But I could get down with James Pierce. The idea, though, that he is a lock to be there, I think speaks to, at least according to Miller, the gap between him and Ezeraku and Green and some of the other guys that are going to go higher. Nick Scorton, he said, will definitely be there. I think that would be an overdraft at 29.
I do too.
To me, that's one of those where I go, that's not worth it necessarily to, I know he's had 15 sacks the last 2 years. He's another guy. Had 10 sacks 2 years ago, down to 5 sacks this past year, played in more games, in more snaps, was a little bit less productive, but huge, 6'4", 280, like a massive guy. Has the length, I think, that action figure ability maybe to be a Montez Sweat type figure, and he went 26th. I just think there's probably someone who's going to be more impactful and a more sure thing sooner, who's really, really good at a position of need, available at 29 that you could take before Scorton.
I think so, too. Yeah, I mean, this is now, you're in the range here from this is me parroting experts, where you can kind of shuffle up and deal the guys that are ranked between anywhere from 20, 25, all the way to 50, where some people might love Maxwell Harrison, the kid from Kentucky, for example, the guy that ran the fastest 40 among the cornerbacks. Some people might love Landon Jackson, who's more of a solid stay-at-home defensive end who can get you some workman-like sacks, but for the most part, is an edge defender, is there to stop the run. The traits of a Nick Emmanuori from South Carolina, the safety that looks like he's built in the lab. This is one of those where it's hard to get a great feel because either someone's going to value traits, a Shamar Stewart or Emmanuori, or they're going to say, I want that workmanlike production, see Ezeraku. This is, I think, a tougher draft to read. I mean, obviously, it's always going to be tough in the 20s and 30s as to what teams are thinking, but I think this one's especially tough this year, especially because of how close it basically, folks are saying, anywhere from 25 to 50 is in terms of year over year, how close these guys are together.
I'm also nervous because the perception, I think, looking from the outside in on this class is that these defensive ends are very much eye of the beholder. And with all of them, there's risk, which is normal in the draft. But I don't know that there's slam dunks outside of Carter. So you got to get it right. I mean, that's the job of Adam Peters and his staff. But it's not like at 29, you're choosing between a couple of guys that we're really sure about.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, whether it's because of the lack of production or maybe the lack of measurables by a hair or a little bit undersized or something off the field, like everybody's got some real blemishes. It's just going to be harder to hit a home run on the pick. Doesn't mean they can't do it, and this staff is really good, and hopefully they will. But while I'm married to the idea of an edge, I wanted to start today, for people that missed the Matt Miller interview, with just suggesting it may not fall in their favor.
Right.
When you're picking down the board like they are, you don't get to dictate. You're not picking 5 or 7
multiple
or 9.
Runs are going to happen. The tackle run's going to happen. The edge run might already happen. Yeah.
You have to react to the board and to some extent what other teams are doing. And they're going to have to do that.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.